Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess.
Duchess, and that's me. How y'all doing? I'm here. Whoa, has it been one whirlwind a weekend? I've been going kind of nutsy, doing this and doing that. I'm planning on going to visit Denver, Colorado to my granddaughter's graduation next week. And so that's created some turmoil and upheaval in my space because, you see, I walk around wearing jeans and T-shirts every day, all day, because that's the nature of my lifestyle and the nature of my work. Shoes, I wear particular shoes that have little lifts in them because of my back, and so these shoes and these lifts are, well, they're fitted for my work shoes, not for dress shoes. So when I go and I need some dress shoes, like I really do, I mean, my dress shoes can cost me upwards to $130. So you go figure, because my feet are a particular way and they have a particular need in my back, and I have to have things. It's just a mess. So, but spirit's been good. I have a friend that I take with me. I told her yesterday, I'm taking her with me everywhere. For the longest time, I was looking for this particular top to wear with this black blouse and these black pants, and I've been looking all over the place. We go into one store. She tells me to go in the store. She goes to the rack. She pulls up this top. I try it on, and even in my black T-shirt, it looks phenomenal. So I get the jacket that I'm going to wear to the graduation. Now I got to fit my feet, okay? I'm looking at these shoes. We're going to go to the walking company. That's where these shoes are going to cost me anywhere from $100 to $120 to $130 to get the right types of shoes for my feet, because I don't know if you out there ever heard of Dansko. Well, I used to wear Dansko shoes, and I wear Echo, or my only shoes that I can walk in, my sneakers are from Brooks, Addiction Walkers. So I have a particular way that I have to, you know, spend money for one occasion. Who knows where I'm going to get dressed up to go out again. Well, I told her before we go to the walking company, we're in this mall, I said, let's find a Payless. That's where I used to buy my shoes when I was younger. I said, we're going to see if I can find me an inexpensive pair of shoes before I go up here and spend $130 for something that I know are going to be right for my feet. Darned if we didn't go into Payless, and I looked down there, and there was the pair of shoes that just right for me. I mean, with the stretchy top, so it gives me that wide open toe box space, and the heel part is very narrow for my narrow heel. I said, girl, I'm taking you shopping with me all the time. All the time. So I've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. I also went to a food fight. Now, this is not what you think a food fight would be like. This was put on by Feed My Starving Children. It's a Christian organization. And, I mean, there were thousands of us at the Expo Center. And they have these workstations where you form little teams, little groups, and what you do is two people will put in the vitamins, one person will put in the vegetable, and we're filling up pouches of food that's going to be dispersed all over the world. And they play music, you bopping, you dancing, you got two people putting in the rice and the soy, and one person holding the bags under the funnel, and as you pass the bag over, somebody is weighing the little pouches to make sure that they're the proper weight. Then they pass them over to the next person in your team, and they're sealing the bags. And then another person is loading up the bags on the table, count out 36, 32 bags to pack in boxes. then the boxes is packed, then the boxes are shipped off. We packed over a half million meals yesterday in my two-hour session. Now, these sessions were going on all day. They started at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. They were all day Friday. They're going all day. They have three sessions today, Sunday, which I'm not at because I'm with you. But I had the best time meeting strangers and filling pouches and loading pouches, pouches of nutritional foods for those children all over the world that you see with the swollen bellies and the little teeny arms. And I just had, I had this sense of, how do you say, fulfillment yesterday. I did something for somebody else. And so my spring is popping off just right, doing things and feeling good about people. The other thing I want to report on, remember I told you at the beginning of the year, I saw this this challenge on Facebook where you would put $1 the first week of the year and then save $2 the second week of the year, and then the third week you put in $3 and you build until the end of the 52 weeks, you will be putting $52 into your savings account. And I told you that I was going to try to do that thing backwards. So rather than $1 the first week, I decided I was going to put $52 in my savings account, you know. And that's different. That's a challenge for me because I get paid every weekend. I only work part-time, but I just said I'm just going to do this. Well, I want you to know as of today, I have broken it down to this week I put $33 into my savings account, and so next week it'll be only $32. So Dutchess is on the roll with just commitment. You know, when you commit yourself to something, you feel a sense of grandness and glory when you stick to a commitment. That's like promising yourself something. And if you don't commit and keep and continue doing it, you're breaking that promise to you. I mean, what better person to keep a promise to than yourself? So what I'm trying to say is when I see that paycheck every week, before I pay any bill, I take out that weekly amount and I pay myself first because I work hard for that money. So I'm paying myself first. So like I say, I started with $52, and every week it was $1 less. And so I'm down to putting in $33 this past week, and I really am proud of me. And I will do my best to continue until the end of the year when I'm only putting that $1 that's left to put into my account. So let's see. We talked about food fight and half million meals. We talked about our challenge, and it seems like winter hasn't gone anywhere. Winter is just hanging around, and I thought we were doing a spring thing, but now I'm counting down to 36 days until summer because winter is really, really hanging out there. And I'm really concerned about going to Denver, Colorado, because that weather is really crazy there, because it can be 90 degrees in the daytime in Denver, and you can have a blizzard the next day. But we'll see. We'll get through it. You know, our Creator is good. And all things happen according to the way they are meant to. All righty. I see the board lighting up, and I've done some intro time here waiting for some others to join us. So let's get on with Lena Stevens. Excuse me. Let's get on with Lena Stevens and see what she has for the close of May so we can hurry up and get to our topic and find out about these energy psychics, these energy vampires. Well, Lena Stevens, her report, her energy report for the month of May was trust. And it was all about trusting what's going on around you, trusting things to be as they're meant to be. And we've moved into, we moved into May 15th. And I don't know how your week has been, but let's close off your week for you. This week has been a time of testing, perseverance, finding your inner strength, working with time in a new way, and reassessing your values. It has also been a week and a time when hard decisions may be made for necessary change. You have support for releasing something from the past. So hopefully you were able to release those things. You have some manifestations of an old belief system or something you have been holding on to as a known security, even though you can clearly see it is no longer right for you. These changes may be difficult as you let go of what you have become accustomed to and what is familiar. There may be a grieving process as well. If change happens to you as a side effect of someone else's decision, accept it and see it as an opportunity for your own reset. Even though you cannot see the road ahead, you will need to use trust as your greatest asset as you take that leap of faith into something new. It is very important that you resist the temptation to define what you expect to happen in your life based on old experiences. Practice being like a child that has no library of past experiences to influence their expectations. Expect things to be different, when much more different than they were before. Keep an open mind and heart and always focus on what is new. Well, I have this frog in my throat today, and I don't know where it's coming from, but it needs to go away because I really don't have time for this. So hold on a second. Let me clear my throat so we can get this show continued. I still don't think that was enough, but we'll see how it works. Okay, a lot of times we get caught up in remembering what happened in the past, and so we project that into something that's going to occur again in the future. Say you have a friend that every time you're in their presence, you know, you have this, you just argue. They talk about the same thing. Well, you know you're getting ready to encounter this particular person, and the first thing that will jump into your mind is, oh, Lord, I got to hang out with her, and she's going to bring up this, and so on and so forth. Well, you see, you're already calling to yourself what you're expecting to happen, and what you call to yourself and expect to happen will definitely happen. So Lena is saying that you have to chill, you have to be cool about these things, and change your way of thinking if you expect what's being projected outside of you to change. Okay, the week of the 16th to the 22nd, she said, we were worn out, some of us disillusioned or in doubt. Did we make the right choices? Can we be this selfish? Do we deserve what we are asking for? Why are there not more signs to let us know we are on the right track? She said, this will be a murky time of inner evaluation and where the trust in your values and choices really comes into play. Wherever you are, whomever you are with, and whatever you are doing needs to be trusted as the very right thing that has chosen you. Relax. Enjoy the ride, whatever it may be. This time frame really supports being part of who you are. Be, with a capital B-E. Be your intentions. Be your new rules. Be trusting. Be inspired. Be patient. And be willing. On the 21st, next week, you're going to be, well, next weekend, you're going to be faced with a full moon. And since we're not having a show that weekend, we're going to talk about that full moon right now today. So you take some notes. And the full moon on the 21st is a setup for great movement and manifestation. It is a productive time where much power and energy can be harnessed for fueling your new game. If you have been consistent in your trust and consistent in your truth and determined in your intentions, then your path will be clear. It will be open and ready for traffic. If you are still in the unsettled place of confusion, ambivalence, and fear of change, you definitely have work to do. And to complete leaners, we'll discuss the 23rd to the 31st, end of the month, taking notes. It is all system go. This is a time of movement, fruition, and action. At times you may feel that things are moving a bit too fast and out of your control. But you must trust that this has all been put into motion by your intentions for change and the discipline to leave the past behind. You may not understand all that is coming your way, but you need to trust that it is the right thing. For example, you may meet someone that you have a very strong intuitive feeling of connection with, but you may not clearly yet see where they fit into your life. Or you can have a strong sense of needing to go somewhere or study something, perhaps do a project, but you don't know why. There is a part of you that knows why, but it is not the intellectual part. This is where trust comes in, and the intellectual clarity will follow. So follow and trust your heart as long as you move forward from your own integrity, values, and intuition. You can't go wrong. So have a ball. Have a ball the rest of the month of May. Because just like the weather has been fluctuating up and down, so will we. But when we walk out of our door, we have to trust. We have to trust that the Creator, Mother Earth, and all that is within and without knows what it's doing, and it's doing the right thing for what it needs to do. And so that's how we have to handle ourselves. We have to know that we are guided by a force greater than ourselves, a power greater than ourselves, and everything is spot on time. So that's it with Lena. I can't wait to see. Well, I don't want to project and push things, but with all this trusting going on, I'm wondering what June's going to look like. The month of summer. Okay. Now if I shuffle these papers around, grab me a sip of water, and let's talk about psychic vampires, because I bet that's what all of y'all are lighting up this board for. You want to know if you're around any vampires? You might want to know if you're a vampire, because some of us are psychic vampires and we don't even know it. I tell you one thing. A lot of times when we stand in awe, pointing our fingers at someone else, just pointing our fingers at someone else, look down at your hand as you point. One finger is pointing at them, but how many fingers are pointing back at you? So take heed when we're pointing fingers at other people, when we're talking bad about other people, you know, when we're offensive. We in them little gossip sessions. You pointing one finger at that person, there are three fingers pointing back at you. So, as I read through the psychic vampires, I have to say that a lot of times we flip and we flutter back and forth. None of us are perfect. As they say in recovery groups, you know, spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. You know, so we progress forward to grow ourselves spiritually, and we will never be perfect. And no one, none of us will be perfect. But as we progress, we make progress, we do the work, we're moving along, then you know you're not going backwards. And even if you do step back a little bit, you pick yourself back up and you go forward. Because once you become spiritually aware, you know when you're going backwards. You know, you know. And you just have to fix that. Whether it's making amends to someone, I apologize. You know when you're not being spiritual. And we're not talking about being religious. Religious, you know when you're going to church. That's when you know you're being, you know, religious. Spiritual is when you're not in church, but you're outside walking around and you're doing things that you think nobody sees, you know? So you know when you're not being spiritual. Okay. Let's talk about an energy vampire, or some people call them psychic vampires. Well, these individuals that literally feed off the energies of those around them, attaching to a host and attempting to suck the person dry. Now, we're not talking any woo-woo stuff here. We're not talking any boogie stuff here. We're definitely not. We're talking about mundane world, face-to-face, life-to-life, physical form stuff. But we also have to recognize that our energy, our essence, is invisible to some, to most. So when we're talking about sucking the life out of people's energy, that's what we're talking about. You really do it. So it's fondly referred to as energy vampires. Energy vampires literally cannot survive without feeding off the energy of others. So they do exactly that. They may not mean to act this way, but they have relied on other people's energies for so long that they know no other way of living. An energy vampire represents someone who feels vulnerable and lost. And I'm sure you come in contact with people like that every day. People who don't feel capable of surviving on their own. They also may not feel motivated enough to increase their own vibration. So they take to lower and lower and lowering the energies of those around them in order to boost their frequency. They whine a lot. Sometimes an energy vampire can conceal their ulterior motives quite well. But in general, they stand out like a sore thumb. They may whine a lot. They may hint, oh, I wish I had a job, but nobody wants to hire me because, you know, I don't know. I don't have the right clothes to wear. I mean, they just go there with you. Now, you know why happy, vibrant people tend to attract those with selfish motives. And that's because happy, vibrant people are people who have a lot of light around them. They're your light workers. And so they definitely will be attracting the low energy person. They can be a low energy person that's related to you, a sister, a brother. You can have parents that are low energy, that just, you know, needy, needy, needy. You can have friends that are just there. You know who they are. And if you don't, maybe after today's show, you will. Energy vampires have such a low vibration that the only way they can survive is to drain other people of their abundant energy levels. So, how would you protect yourself? Okay, first let's back up. We don't want to protect ourselves from them until we talk about these five examples of how to spot them. You know, then we'll learn and talk about how to block them. But first let's talk about how we spot them. I found five ways to spot an energy vampire. One, they always want someone to show them pity. Energy vampires thrive off of attention, but they go about getting it in the wrong ways. They want other people to feel sorry for them, so they constantly give off a poor me vibe to get people to notice them. They likely haven't had good relationships in the past, and so go to other people in order to get the attention they seek. Whether they just had a bad breakup, lost their job, or got in an argument with a family member, it always seems like they have some new sob story to share with you. You can't always trust them, though, because they simply don't know how to discern between reality and the stories in their head anymore. They need to invent new methods of getting people to feel sorry for them constantly, because this energy transfers to them, which raises their own vibration. So watch out for people who always complain, because this is a clear sign of an energy vampire. Two, they look lethargic most of the time. Despite sucking the energy out of people constantly, they never seem to have any. This makes sense because the energy comes from an outside source, not from within. So they continue to keep up their charade, even if it doesn't seem to work any longer. An energy vampire will likely have withdrawn, pale features and simply exude a very off-putting, tired vibration. They lack motivation also. So whenever they need to get something done, you can rest assured they will run to you in order to get some inspiration or even ask you to do the task for them. Three, an energy vampire doesn't smile very often. Energy vampires don't feel happy most of the time, so they rarely smile. They can't even seem to create happiness within themselves and only smile when they have stolen energy from other people. Now that's deep. Oh, I'm smiling today because I just sucked the life out of the man that just passed me. That's deep. So I'm smiling. They walk around this world aimlessly, feeling lost and threatened by everyone and everything. They don't have any hope left to fix themselves, so they've taken to joining the dark side. An energy vampire hides behind their mask, hoping no one will notice. However, if someone seems unhappy a majority of the time, you can bet that you have an energy vampire on your hands. Four, energy vampires usually don't have a lot of friends. They lead a lonely life because no one would want to hang out with a person who chooses to live in such misery. An energy vampire wants to connect with people, but don't remember how to genuinely do so without depleting people of their own life force. If you see someone who spends a lot of time alone and also seems tired and unhappy most of the time, this is a sign of an energy vampire. 5. Energy vampires put others down quite frequently. I know a lot of people that do that. Not only do they put a lot of people down frequently, they tend to be whizzes at sarcasm or whizzes at, oh, I was just joking. Oh, you can't take a joke. But that's a put down because many a true word has been said in jest. They don't know how to operate without cutting someone else down and never seem to have anything nice to say to anyone else. If they do, they just want to pull people into their trap and make them feel safe and protected, when they really just want to give them a false sense of security in order to steal their energy. Now, that person that I know that's sarcastic and people don't like me and I don't understand and all of that, and but you, Duchess, you're just a wonderful person. Oh, you're such a beautiful person with lots of energy, and I just love to hear you speak, and oh, you have such words of wisdom. Oh, I wish I could talk like that. Oh, I went over there the other day to somebody, and they just looked at me and rolled their eyes. You know, it's like, whoa, do you need to hear that all the time? Do you? An energy vampire might give someone a really nasty remark, only to say later that they were just kidding. This type of person wants to engage with people but doesn't really know how. They only know how to trick other people into becoming their friend so they can serve their own interests. So there you go. I had a young man that I was training. I was training at my job. He was young. He was only going to be a Christmas temp. But every other sentence, it was like some sarcasm or some smart thing, or, you know, and finally I just had to turn around and tell him, you know what, I don't do sarcasm very well, so I really would appreciate it if you stop it. That's if you can. Because a lot of people who tend to live by sarcasm, they just throw it out there, sometimes without even thinking, sometimes intentionally, you know. So that's how you can spot them. So let's talk about, see whether or not we can block them. So there were 11 ways on blocking them. And you've heard these things before. You sometimes just don't know that it means that if you do these types of things, they work for a host of stuff. You know, they say meditate, and you meditate, you know, to relieve stress. But if you meditate daily, that can make you stronger to block your energy vampires, because they're everywhere. They're on the train. I remember one night, This young woman at my job gave me a hug. All she did was, oh, thank you so much. She hugged me, and I hugged her. And when she walked away, I felt drained, like I was going to drop. The next day, I woke up, I was drained. It was my daughter that said, you know what, Ma, when you feel like this, you need to go outside, and you need to walk in the sun. And I did. And you're going to find in these 11 ways to block, one of the things it says is you got to go out in the sun. You got to draw some energy. So the first thing on the list is to meditate. That's one of the best ways to protect yourself from emotional manipulation and the things that lie within yourself. Because when you meditate, you go deep within and channel the energy of the universe into your body. which will provide you with the energy you need to raise your vibration. This way, the energy vampires can't possibly steal any of your energy, because meditation will teach you to become more tolerant of various energy levels. Meditation literally changes your brain and allows you to deal with reality much easier. As you tap into more of your own spiritual powers, you won't allow other people's energy to drag you down. Remember that. Wetting my whistle. 2, smile at them. Wow. Just smile. You may think that this sounds a bit silly, but when you smile and you share a smile with another person, you automatically share a positive vibration with them. This will throw the energy vampire off, as they won't expect someone to respond to them this way. Energy vampires normally feel threatened in the presence of others who carry a high vibration, either out of jealousy or other negative emotions. So, to combat the energy vampires' draining vibes, simply share a smile with them and let them know that you don't judge them for their behaviors. Rather, you want to see them happy and healthy, so a smile can help them head in the right direction. 3, don't engage in conversation with them. On the other hand, if you tried helping them already and shared your positive energy, but they won't respond to your attempts, then you have to stop. You have to stop contact with them if possible. You know how people will come to you over and over again with the same problem. And it's like, you know, over and over again, and you start giving them suggestions on how to do this, or maybe you can try that, and or they'll say, well, I did that already. Oh, that's not going to work. If I know, and this is the then stop. They're draining you. They're taking your energy away. They just want to hear you give them suggestions that they just so they can say it's not going to work. You don't need that. Walk away. You stop contact with them if possible. Some energy vampires don't realize their actions. But for those who do, they will relentlessly try to steal your energy. If this happens, all you can do is to avoid them if at all possible, as they only have negative intentions for you. This might seem a bit cold and heartless, especially if the energy vampire is a close friend or family member, but you can't lift everyone up forever. At some point, they have to take responsibility for their own energy, lives, and emotions. I've had a very dear friend who I know wasn't energy vampire, and I say was at this date because, she just passed away 2 days ago. But she was somebody that I would consider to be a tortured soul. And she would call me up, and I would see my phone light up, and I would see her there, and I would get myself ready for the phone call because I know she needed to talk. And sometimes you may have a friend or a family member that you know needs to talk, you know, and so you want to give them that. They got to get it out. And what I would do is I would let her talk, and I would protect myself, my energy, while she was talking, because I would let her go on and on and on without me giving any response, because any response that I could possibly give her would be something that she would say, oh, I tried that, yo, it's not going to work. Oh, but this, oh, but you don't understand. It's that. So I just let her go on. And when she was finished spent, as we say, I would say, look, we've been on this phone for about 45 minutes. I got to go now. I got to get up and I got to do this. And she'll say, okay, I'll talk to you later. Now, this energy vampire never got any of my energy, but at the same time, she expended herself to the point where I won't hear from her for another month, or maybe she went off to somebody else, but she needed to talk, and I gave her that. And she got it out of her system without me allowing her to drain me. So sometimes we can engage in conversation with them, okay? And at some point, they have to take responsibility for their own energy, lives, and emotions. Number four, repeat positive affirmations while in their presence. Now, you don't have to say these out loud. You know, an affirmation such as, I am a whole, vibrant, positive being of light. Now, you don't want to say this out loud in their face. I mean, that's like a, you know, hey, while you're talking, I just want to say this to myself, that I am a whole, vibrant, positive being of light. How cruel and how cold can that be? So we don't do that. Or you could say something like, nothing outside myself can bring me down. You know, and these things can really help you when you're surrounded by energy vampires. I need to stop calling them, yeah, well, that's what they are, energy vampires. Simply channeling in that positive energy will lift your spirits when others want to bring you down. Okay? You can have energy vampires. You know, I got family that live in New York. They ride the subway with energy vampires. New York's full of them, you know, and you've been in touching people all the time. Your energy is wrapped all around other people. You can come home and just feel drained, and you didn't do nothing but go to the corner store because somebody done walked by you. Oh, there was that movie with Denzel Washington where this thing was just touching people and just jumping from here to there. Well, this is not what I'm talking about. If that movie came to mind, I forgot. I bet you my sister knows the name of that movie. I'm going to call her up and ask her about that movie. That movie was a mess. Well, anyway, number five, you can shine so brightly that their negativity doesn't weigh you down. While psychic vampires live to take other people's energy, not all of them realize their actions, and that's the truth. Okay? Some of them may just need love and support and have lashed out at others out of desperation or anger. In short, there's this excerpt from Dr. Judith Orloff's New York New York Times bestseller, and her book is called Emotional Freedom: Liberate Yourself from Negative Emotions and Transform Your Life. Well, in her book, she says, some are overbearing and obnoxious. Others are friendly and charming. For example, you're at a party talking to a perfectly nice person, but suddenly you're nauseous or weak. Or, how about the coworker who drones on about how she broke up with her boyfriend for the 10th time? Eventually, she feels better, but you're spent. Like, Lord. The bottom line is that on a subtle energy level, these people suck you dry. To combat this, remember that some people you encounter have just had a bad day. This does not make them a malicious, negative person whose goal in life is just to ruin other people's vibrations. All of us can lend a helping hand to other people. So why not try to understand their situation and offer them some support instead of automatically labeling them a negative person? Why? Well, attempting to help them, like we said before, energy vampires have simply gotten a bit lost on their path. and might need help in getting back on track. Whatever you can do to lend them a hand, do it. Whether that means listening to them, offering to help out with some of their responsibilities for a short time, or referring them to a professional who can better serve them. We are all one big family and have an obligation to help each other during tough times. Energy vampires are just people like you and I who just need a little extra guidance. But while we're offering them that guidance, we are not to let them suck our energy dry. If I offer someone some guidance and when I turn around they haven't even tried what I suggested, well, hello. Don't come back here and ask me the same thing and you haven't tried what I offered you before, because I really have no time for it. Now, if you've tried it and it didn't work, then come on back. Come on back. You know, ask me again. Maybe I have something else that you might want to try, you know. But don't keep coming and coming and coming with the same problem. And I'm, you know, no, now you're trying to suck my energy. And it's not going to work because I'm just not going to let it happen. Number 7, cleanse your aura, honey. After encountering an energy vampire, don't forget to re-energize and cleanse your energy. Now, how do you do this? Well, for starters, make sure you meditate and ask the universe for healing energy after the encounter. Next, you could burn some sage or your favorite incense to clear the air and lighten the energy of yourself in the room you're in. That same person I was talking about that was talking to me on the phone, talk on and on and on, one day she came to my apartment and she got so spastic in my apartment and annoyed with me because I was not giving her some attention that she wanted the way she felt she needed it. She started screaming and hollering at me. And she left my house, and I know you don't want me in your house, blah, 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 blah. And when she left, that's exactly what I had to do. I told my son, I said, so-and-so had come by the house, and after they left, I had to sage my apartment. He said, it was that bad? I said, it was that bad. And when you sage your space after an energy encounter like that, open the windows. You got to open the windows and sage your environment, white sage, so that you can release that negative energy. It needs to be released, and it needs an outlet. So you open up your windows. Next, you could burn the sage, or you can use some incense to clear the air. All right? Also, take care of your physical body. Get some sunlight. Eat a light meal. Have a healthy diet. Bathe with Epsom salt. And most importantly, practice self-love every single day. Now, there is a shaman's bath that I tell people about. You might want to do this once a week, once a month. You get some sage, essential oil, a quarter cup of sea salt, quarter cup of baking soda, and this requires a bath for you shower takers. You put the sea salt and the baking soda in the bathtub and 10 drops of the sage essential oil. Oh, you're going to love this bath. Okay? Now, if you're a shower person, you feel like I don't want to be in the bath water with all that, the dirt up. Yeah. Well, get in the tub, you know, and soak in the tub, and then stand up, and don't take it off of you, but you stand up in the bathtub, let the water run out, and imagine all the energy just going down the drain, and then put the shower on just so you can just have a rinse, but don't wipe it off, okay? Don't take a bath or don't take a shower with soap and bubbles and all that other stuff once you're in that shaman's bath. So you want the shaman's bath. Once again, that's a quarter cup of baking soda, a quarter cup of sea salt, and 10 teeny drops of essential oil, sage, sage essential oil. You're going to love the bath, and you're going to love the aroma. Okay? We've got, alrighty, where were we? We're going to finish up with this, and then I'm going to open it up for questions, because I gave us time for questions this evening. So once again, you are to keep your vibration high. We've already touched on that before. You must keep your energy levels high in order to block out the energy vampire's attempts at stealing your energy. To do this, take care of your mental, physical, and emotional health by practicing self-care, self-love. Meditate, exercise, eat healthy, nurture your relationships, get enough sunlight and rest, and eliminate unnecessary stress from your life. Number 9, don't attempt to feel sorry for them. Energy vampires want attention and recognition, but don't fall into their trap. They prey on empathic people because they know that empaths are easy targets, but you must not feel sorry for them. They create their own reality, and they have chosen a low vibrational one. If they try to drag you into their pity party, either walk away, change the subject, or respond with honesty about the situation. You don't have to feel responsible for everyone's happiness. A good life begins with positive thoughts. Okay? They gave eating a healthy diet its own number. So we may as well look at it, because they're insisting that if we don't eat properly, we're just going to be sucked dry, period. So one of the best ways to protect your energy levels is to provide your body and mind with the nutrients that they need to thrive. Once again, eat a whole foods, plant-based diet for optimum physical and mental health, and make sure that you fuel your body with enough calories to sustain you throughout the day. While energy vampires do feed off of those with high energy levels, it will do you no good to have a low vibration either. They want you to have reduced energy because it makes them feel better about their decision to operate on such a low frequency. But this won't give you a happy, fulfilling life. In order to live your best life, look after your health and diet, as this will help you become better equipped to deal with those who just want to suck your energy dry. And last but not least, number 11, please, please, please spend plenty of time recharging. Please don't forget to spend time alone. Just cleansing yourself of negative energy and replenishing yourself. Please remember, spending time with energy vampires can really get exhausting after a while. And unfortunately, many of them walk among us. Take time each day to meditate, practice yoga, exercise, listen to music, cook, bake, clean in the garden. That was a slip. Work in the garden, or whatever helps you restore your energy. No matter what you do to block out energy vampires, remember that they don't have malicious intent. Some of them simply need some help getting back on their feet. So if you see someone struggling, offer a helping hand. They might not have anyone else who will support them. And if we all help each other, we will have a planet of empowered people. rather than people attempting to take power from one another. So, yes. But remember, like I said, you can offer that help, but after a while, if you're offering that help and they come back and they haven't even tried what you suggested, well, you know, after a while that gets old. And you got to tell them that, hey, I already tried and you didn't follow my suggestion. Well, that's that. Now, I'm going to open up for some questions. As a matter of fact, I see a couple of lines wanting to talk. I'm going to do one or two and see what we got going on here. Hi, caller. How you doing? Where you calling?
I'm doing beautiful. Yes, I'm on the West Coast, and it's a beautiful day today. And I've been out in the sun, so have we.
You've been having, I can't hear you. You're not coming in too clear.
I'm on my Bluetooth in my car. Is this okay?
Okay. All right.
Can we know your first name?
Can we get your first name?
I just call myself Miss Lady.
Okay,
and,
that's
nice.
How you doing, Miss Lady?
I'm fine. I'm wonderful. Thank you. I agree with a lot of what you said, and there is just a tremendous amount of energy vampires that I have encountered when I think back, and there are some that I'm presently dealing with, and I recognize them for who they are, and I know how to take care of myself. But this is the thing. You know, for African-Americans, with all of the ongoing problems African-Americans encounter, from, you know, employment issues to finance to relationship, family, blah, 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 you know, they're going to have low energy. They're going to be sad. They're going to be depressed. And so I wouldn't, like you said, a lot of them aren't intentionally trying to be energy vampires, that they've become so saddened by their circumstances, and maybe they have limited support systems anyway to begin with. And it seems to me that Black African Americans are more vulnerable than other people in terms of having their energy reduced. And then secondly, do you think there's a link between narcissistic personality disorder and energy vampires, because some are intentionally going after people with high energy? I mean, I've encountered strangers that I could tell. I mean, I could feel their energy. It was just unbelievable. It was very intentional. And so so this is what,
well,
and
well,
so some are just operating from just pure hatred.
Mm-hmm. Well, because
I think there's a lot of jealousy, and envy has a lot to do with it as well.
Well, because I don't have a license or a medical degree, I can't answer to, you know, the narcissistic personalities and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a lot of insight, and I have worked a lot with people who are in recovery. Recovery for drinking or drugs or things like that, you know, or recovery because they have, and you find the low self-esteem a lot of times in these areas. And what happens is because they don't have, like I say, once again, they don't have a spiritual connect with a power greater than themselves. So what tends to drag them is the fact that they're relying on their own individual know-how and their own, and they don't realize that there is a support system out here that is here for them. But we've been so ingrained in thinking that we're individuals and we don't need to tap into that universal energy in order to strengthen ourselves. And we find that we're walking alone. And when we feel like we're walking alone, then that's how we carry ourselves, like we're alone. But if you can get up every day and find a power. Now, if you don't know what a power greater than yourself is, go out to the ocean, because I see a couple of 401 area codes on my website, and they have an ocean out there. Go, and you're on the West Coast. Go out to the ocean and try to hold back a wave. That's a power greater than yourself. That's a force. And if that's the only force that you can go to every day and look out on that ocean and say, I throw myself on you in an, how you say, a metaphysical way, and I ask you to support me and guide me through what it is I'm struggling through every day, and then you go back in the evening and say thank you, you will begin to realize that things will come a lot easier for you. You will begin to realize that things just unfold in manner, because we create our own reality. So we've got to change the way we're creating that reality. And we need a support system that teaches us that that reality can be changed.
Oh, I agree, but this is, you know, Black people don't, in terms of family, in terms of community, in terms of trust fund, most Black people don't have highly
the reason why, first they got to trust in themselves. They've got to find that power in within them, that power in themselves. Once they find
but
that, once
the
they
thing.
Tap into
this
that, then they'll connect. They'll connect to the next person. You know.
This is, you know, what's sad is that, you know, people talk about self-esteem. Well, where does self-esteem really come from? And I think it comes from being valued and esteemed as children. And a lot of Black people just haven't had that in enough amount.
Everybody's self-esteem comes from a different place. Now, there are some people that garnered their self-esteem as children because they had that support system within that family. There are some people who garnered that self-esteem by going to Job Corps. There are some people that garnered that self-esteem when they realized that they can get A's when they go to college and they're in their 20s. There
right,
are different
but
ways
if you
to
can
get
it
self-esteem
as children,
and,
I know, but if you get it as children, this is my point. See, the hurdles and the leaps that Black people have to reach and to go over can be absolutely tremendous. And if you don't get that as children, you're going to have a lot more work to do. And they might be obstacles you've even set up for yourself unknowingly.
Well, that, you know, that's well and good. What you're saying is a beautiful thing. But my audience looking for their self-esteem, they're not children. And so I'm talking to young teens, and I'm talking to young adults who didn't have that as children, and they're looking
okay.
for it today in their maturing years. So that's
okay.
my audience, you know. And so, tell me what do you suggest? What are you doing to give young people?
I think you're doing really good. I think you're doing wonderful. I just was extending the conversation to include that. And so
right, I mean, I think that's a beautiful thing, but if you have something to offer to the audience, I'm sure my audience has young children, what are your suggestions that you would say to them?
But, you know what? Be recognize who you are surrounded by. If they don't have anything powerful to add to your life, and be clear about what that means, you don't need to spend time with them and energy with them. To find out what your talents are, what your gifts are, to explore, to get outside, to have different kind of interactions with different kinds of people, travel if you can. I mean, even if you can go to a different city, go to a museum, go do something, go take an art class, take a music lesson, learn to swim. Do things that are going to add to your life, make you feel good about yourself. You can accomplish something. And then you can move on, you know,
absolutely.
To include your education. And then, you know what, when you start leaving those naysayers alone, that will open up a door to something positive, some people that are good that are going to help you in your life to enter. Because as long as you stay with those naysayers and the energy vampires and the haters and the crab in the barrel folks, you're going to be looked back years later and be in a hole.
And I'm sure that those people on this line are loving what you're saying. Okay? And
well,
I want to thank you. Thank you for
calling.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for calling in. It's time for me to do the animal medicine. They're waiting for that. And I hope you listen in. We'll be broadcasting on the 5th of June, and I hope you come in again. So you have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Okay,
family. Let's see what we're going to do. That was fantastic. Anybody else out there want to comment, say something before? Because we got time. I've given you all extra time today. Anyone else? Should we go to Medicine Guards? All righty. Lend me some of your energy for a positive cause, and we're going to look at what we get. Well, the sister that called will really love this card because this card has to do with self-esteem. So why don't we do it? It's amazing how the cards usually give us what it is complementary to who we are and where we are and how we are. So when we talk about self-esteem, it's moose. Moose people have an ability to know when to use the gentleness of deer and when to activate the stampede of buffalo. They understand the balance between giving orders to get things done, and they have a willingness to do things themselves. The wisdom of moose medicine is akin to Grandfather Warrior, who has long since put away his war paint and is now advising the young bucks to cool their blood. This sounds just like what we were just listening to. Moose medicine is often found in elders who have walked the good red road and have seen many things in their earth walk. Their joy lies in being the teachers of the children and in being the first ones to give encouragement. This is not to say that moose medicine people do not use their wisdom to warn as well as give praise, because they do. Moose medicine people know what to say, when to say it, and to whom. The elders are honored in tribal lore for their gifts of wisdom, for their teaching abilities, and for the calmness they impart in counsel. If you are wise beyond your years and have the gift of moose medicine, use this gift to encourage others to learn and grow. There are many facets to the wisdom of moose medicine. If you have chosen the moose card, you have reason to feel good about something you have accomplished in your journey. This may be a habit you have broken, a completion of some sort, an insight on a goal, or a new sense of self that you have fought hard to earn. It is a time of feeling harmonious pride and of recognizing those who aided you in that process. One good exercise in moose medicine is to write down things that you can love about yourself and your progress in life. Then apply the same things to friends, family, coworkers, and life. Don't forget to share the findings with others. They need the encouragement as much as you do. And with that, I'm going to say, I am so happy to be me. I am so happy to love me. And I do love myself, and I'm hoping and praying you out there loving yourself. Because that's how it all begins. We've got to love self before we can even think of loving and helping anyone else. So that's what you do. And if you didn't get it from mommy and daddy as adults, go find it yourself. Be your own mommy and daddy. Help yourself grow, because you can do it. There's no whining, because you do not want to be one of the energy vampires out there. Okay? You want to be a being of light. You want to grow. You want to aspire. And you want to be the role model to those children and those people who are around you. Okay? This is Duchess. And I'm saying thank you for hanging out with me. Y'all are beautiful. Take care. Stay blessed. And I'm saying good night. Thank you.